Good morning, church. And now a reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who was my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Gabe, for reading our scripture this morning. Good morning, everybody. Oh, it is good to be together on this Sunday morning with the time change. Grace and peace to you in the name of Christ. My name's Emily. I'm one of the pastors here. I came dressed ready to work today. We have a lot of work to do, and I can't wait for us to get started. So we gather together to worship God, and then we're going out to serve. We are in a new sermon series that we started last Sunday called Faith in Action. This series is based on the fact that having faith doesn't merely mean a set of beliefs. Those beliefs are meant to take on skin. Those beliefs are meant to take on life. They're meant to be lived out and put into action together. So how do we do that? How do we put faith in action? When we join the United Methodist Church, when we become part of a faith community, we covenant to live that out in 5 ways: through prayer and presence and giving and serving and a daily life of witness. So each Sunday in this series, we will lift up one of those 5 commitments that we make, and we'll give you as well an action item that you can do to immediately live that out. Last week, our focus was prayer. And so our homework was to pray. And I hope that we've been a praying people all week. We put together a prayer calendar that was available online. We've also mailed that out to houses. If you haven't gotten yours yet, hang on, it'll come. And there's a prayer prompt for every day of the series. And we hope that we will be praying about all of that together. Today is the 2nd Sunday in this series, and our focus is service. And so what we will be doing immediately after the service is going across through that door to don our hairnets and gloves or our hats and start serving, putting together 30,000 meals to be sent to people who are hungry. This is made possible by one of our families in the church. They wanted to sponsor this today, and they wish to remain anonymous, but thanks to them, we're able to do our Rise Against Hunger today, so I want to say a public thank you to them. So we'll be going across the way to get busy putting service into action right away. However God moves you to serve, whether it's here today or maybe you're joining us online and you have other ways that you want to serve, let's dig in together and put faith in action as one. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of our mouths, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord. For you are our rock, our refuge, our redeemer, and our savior. And it is in your name that we pray. As all God's people say, amen. Jesus likes to throw us for a loop in the best and holiest of ways. Challenge us, change us, shake us up in the best and hardest and holiest of ways. He does that now as much as he did 2,000 years ago when he walked on this earth. And back then, the faith community had 613 different laws to keep track of. Jesus said, I'll give you two. You probably know what they are. Pastor Donovan already lifted them up today. What are they? Loving God and loving others. That comes from that 613 laws. Jesus said, if you're going to make a big deal out of any of those 613 laws, make it these two. The first one specifically says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That comes from those 613 laws. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. The second one specifically says to love your neighbor in the same way as you love yourself. That also comes from those 613 laws. It comes directly from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And Jesus gives or affirms these two laws in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke. When you get to the Gospel of John, Jesus simply says, love other people the way I love you. And so today, we hear from Jesus a story about putting that kind of love into action. It's a story that's only found in the Gospel of Luke. So if you brought your Bibles with you or want to use the ones in the pewbacks in front of you or you've got a Bible app, I invite you to turn to the passage that Gabe read for us today. It is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. It's called the story of the Good Samaritan. People hearing this story for the first time would never have thought of a Samaritan as good. So the title is a bit of an oxymoron. Before I tell you this well-known story again, I want to teach you a not well-known word, but a very important one found in verse 33. The word is a fun one. It's pronounced splunknitzamai. Isn't that fun? Say it with me. It is a Greek word, splunknitzamai. Let's try it. Splunknitzamai. Oh, that's good. It is based on a word that means down to our inner parts. It's the word that spleen comes from. It means to be moved down to one's bowels, literally. In the Bible, this word means to be moved or touched so deeply that you feel it in the pit of your stomach, down in your bones, down in your heart. It is a whole body response. When you see a need and can't help but do something right then about it. The word is translated in English as compassion. In the translation we use today, it used the word pity. It's bigger than that. Splunknitzamai means this compassion that comes from the depths of you. And it's a powerful word in this powerful story that shakes us up every time we hear it. At least it does me. Our text starts with a lawyer asking a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He asks the question, the text says, to trap or test Jesus. Jesus is well aware of this and turns the question back on the lawyer. He's an expert, after all, right in those 613 laws. And Jesus says, you know the law, what do you read about it? The lawyer says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's a good answer. Jesus tells him that. Then Jesus tells him to do it. Put that faith in action, and then you will really live. Then the lawyer asks a second, more telling question. And who is my neighbor? He asks. Scripture says he asks this because he wants to justify himself and his choices, which means he's not really interested in learning more by asking the question. Rather, he wants to justify a bias or a stereotype to legitimate limits he wants to draw around what a neighbor is. And Jesus knows it. There were lines in that culture, after all, as in all cultures, it seems, some folks were in and some were out. So the lawyer says, "Who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus, in response, does that Jesus thing when he doesn't really answer the question, but he tells you a story and he's going to get you to answer the question yourself. So he starts his story. Once upon a time, there is a man walking down a road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Oh, the lawyer would have known that road. So would have all of those hearing the story that day. It was a dangerous road, a 17-mile stretch that had these narrow passageways and boulders and caves. And it was dangerous because robbers, thieves would hide in and amongst all those nooks and crannies and jump out and attack the travelers. And that's exactly what happens to the man of the story as he walks down it. Thieves jump out. The man is robbed, stripped, beaten, and left for dead. It is a terrible thing that happens. And then someone is coming down that dangerous road. A priest. Someone well respected in the lawyer's hearing, right? In the hearing of all those that day. The priest sees the victim lying there, Jesus says, and goes by on the other side. Why? We don't know. Jesus doesn't say. Could it be that the priest thought that this was a setup and this person was there as a trap so that if he stopped to help him, then those other robbers would come out to ambush him? We don't know. Could it be that the priest had in mind one of those 613 laws, the one from Numbers chapter 19, verse 11 and 13, that said if a priest touched a dead or a half-dead person, then he would not have been able to perform the priestly duties he was on his way to do that day? We don't know. We don't know why he walks on by. Then a second traveler comes down this dangerous road. This one's a Levite. A temple assistant, a leader in the faith community, another person well respected in the lawyer's hearing and a hearing of those hearing that story for the first time that day. And the Levite sees the victim lying there, Jesus says, and he goes by on the other side. Why? Again, we don't know. And Jesus doesn't say, but that's what he does. Then a third person enters this dangerous road. And with this person, Jesus throws the lawyer for a good and holy loop. It is a Samaritan. What do you know? Someone not at all respected in the lawyer's hearing or in the hearing of others that day. A Samaritan would have been an outcast in every way you can imagine, a religious heretic even. Someone not in the lines the lawyer would have drawn. An outsider based on racial, ethnic, theological, political lines. Samaritans and Jews, by the way, the lawyer would have been a Jew. Samaritans and Jews hated each other. Not only then, but had for centuries despised each other. So surely the lawyer's thinking that the Samaritan will likewise walk by on the other side like the rest of them, except that he doesn't. Surprise, the Samaritan is the one who stops. Why? Jesus tells us in verse 33, Shplunk nitsamai, compassion. He is moved to the depths of himself to do something for another human being. He treats the man's wounds with wine to cleanse them, oil to help them heal, Then he removes the man from that dangerous situation, puts him on his own animal, takes him to a nearby and stays with him that day to take care of him. The next day he leaves and leaves 2 days worth of wages at the inn to help care for him, and then says he's going to come back after he takes care of what he needs to do to check on him again and pay any other expenses that have been incurred since. Then Jesus asks the lawyer a question. Now, which one of these three was a neighbor to the man? I bet he doesn't want to answer the question. Jesus has essentially refuted any lines the lawyer was trying to legitimize about who was out and who was in. The lawyer can't say the word Samaritan, so he answers the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. Put faith in action. Jesus is shaking him up, challenging him, throwing him for a loop. The story challenges us too. It challenges me every time I read it. By choosing a Samaritan as the compassionate neighbor, this story is not about changing a tire by the side of the road for somebody else. This story is largely about changing hearts. It's about having compassion for the last person for whom you want to have it. Jesus is throwing us all with this story into a good and holy loop. For in it, Jesus cuts down any bias we think we have a right to hold. It's a hard story. And it's hard for us 2,000 years later in a very different culture now to understand how radical a story this was at the time. It was a shocker, really. And we didn't live in or grow up in the prejudice or bias between Jews and Samaritans. We don't know what that's like, but boy, do we know what it's like today to have a prejudice or a bias or a stereotype or to be harmed by it. Who, like the lawyer in the story, would we want to try to write off? Jesus knows how each one of us would answer that question. And Jesus knows who we want to legitimize our right to exclude. And when we do that, I can't help but see Jesus standing there looking at us, wondering how in the world we could follow him and get to a place where we would exclude anyone. I'm going to say that again. When we try to legitimize making somebody out, right, and drawing ourselves in, I can see Jesus standing there looking at us, wondering how in the world we could follow him and get to a place where we would exclude anyone. Why would we do that? Who would Jesus make the Samaritan in the story when he tells it to the church? Who would Jesus make the Samaritan in the story when he tells it to you or when he tells it to me? Would it be a group of people where we draw this broad brushstroke? Somebody with a different ethnicity or accent or physical appearance or sexual orientation or gender or political party or socioeconomic line or a different faith? Or does Jesus get more specific than that? Is it an individual? Perhaps a family member with whom we've argued for years, or someone against whom we've had a grudge for a long time and we like that grudge. Maybe it's somebody right under our noses every week. Perhaps a family member. Perhaps a coworker who's hard to love, or an ex. Or a neighbor whose political sign in their front yard does not match yours. Pick any political issue for that matter. It's a challenging story to hear on the week of a national election, isn't it? Maybe that's the best time to hear this story, to keep our hearts in check, to be a neighbor to a neighbor even when we disagree with them. Who is that someone who, if we found them hurting, we'd be hard-pressed to even toss them a Band-Aid and say, good luck with that, when we would want to walk by on the other side? Jesus doesn't justify our choices like that. Not with this story. Jesus does not cooperate with our desires for selectivity or loopholes in that. Love God, love others, he says. With this story, he calls us to do the hard thing and recognize the goodness in the one we would exclude. Right? I'm going to say that again. With this story, the way that Jesus tells it, he calls us to recognize the goodness of the one we would want to exclude. As loving someone who is hard to love is the very nature of God. Thanks be to God, we don't control God's expansive, unbounded love. It is so big, it even includes me. And I know I am not easy to love sometimes. And thanks be to God, it includes you too. And I'm betting we're all not easy to love some days. How is Jesus challenging all of us to love all our neighbors, or at least take that next step in compassion, whether we agree with those people or not, whether we like them or not? How are we, like the Samaritans, coming alongside others in a way that will consider somebody else's need and not our own? What does this boundless love of God look like in Stafford and Fredericksburg or wherever it is that we live? How do we live out and put skin on Splunk Meets Am I? Here, this compassion that comes from the depth of who we are in response to God's unbounded compassion for us. We do that in a number of ways. One of those ways is by serving, by service, which is one of those five ways that we promise, we covenant to live out our faith together as a community of faith. And as a church, I know we struggle with that sometimes. And as a church, there are some times when I am humbled to say we are really good at that. Did you know that we filled over 200 backpacks for kids we'll probably never meet with supplies for our school partners, both Moncure and Hampton Oaks Elementary Schools? Did you know that we provided breakfast for over 500 new teachers and staff during the Stafford County Public Schools Mentor Program? That we provided Stafford Social Services families, the Stafford Sheriff's Department toy drive, and 10 different Stafford County Public Schools with over 500 gifts for the holidays and meals and gift cards and food baskets last year in our Angel Tree program? And we cannot wait to do it again this year. We saw renewed support this year for our international missions with Go for Bo, with 500 different volunteers and runners and sponsors, and make our missions, our partners with helping children worldwide in Bo, Sierra Leone possible. Thanks be to God. We're working to fill in gaps in missions to mitigate food insecurity at the local, regional, and international level with monthly mission events and special events like what we'll do today with Rise Against Hunger, and by growing produce for our neighbors at Ebenezer Acre, helping in the cold weather shelter this winter, providing transportation to laundry services for Micah, being a mobile order pickup site for the food bank, being mission partners in Sierra Leone, Costa Rica, Guatemala, providing last week money for coats for local kids in need, the flood buckets that were sent for hurricane relief, all the United Methodist men do, our United Women in Faith, and supporting childhood literacy through Imagination Library with all those umpteen pumpkins we sold. My goodness. goodness, do you know what incredible ministry that is? I think we ought to be clapping. That's a reason to praise God. That God makes that possible and we get to be part of it and we don't get to be picky about who gets that right. That's something that we offer to everyone in love and grace and compassion. And the list of impact and service goes on and on and on. I didn't even list it all. Stay today to be part of packing 30,000 meals for 30,000 people. How often can you say, I got up on a Sunday morning and I helped 30,000 people today? In just a couple of hours, we get to do that. Thanks be to God. Let Jesus throw you for the best and holiest of loops and challenge your heart today that we will live out Splunknitzamai, compassion for others in response to God's incredible compassion for us when it's easy and especially when it's hard. It's what Jesus tells us to do. So join me today as we put faith in action through serving all our neighbors. Amen. Amen.